The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday. Hope you had a great sports weekend. What did I do? I saw three billboards on Friday night. Eric, have you seen three billboards? We've gotten to the Oscar stuff. We're closing in on Oscars. My wife and I try to make this habit of going to see all the movies that have been nominated for Oscars, and I did not see three billboards. Have you seen three billboards yet?
I did not. Saw 12 Strong over the weekend. Really good movie.
How was that?
Very good. Very, yeah. Very good.
Yeah?
My
really
wife.
Good. So we were one of those. We dropped in Friday night, and I said, let's go see something. And she said, let's go see 12 Strong. And I'm thinking, this is not a chick flick, right? Or is it?
No. It's not.
It's bodies being blown up, right?
It is.
Body count movie.
It's inspirational. It's a good story.
Okay.
I don't want to give the whole thing away, but Goody Coons liked it, and I liked it. So
all right.
You'd probably like it.
Well, sure. We have the same taste. Three Billboards was nominated for Best Picture. So I've seen The Post. I've seen Three Billboards. I have not seen Lady Bird yet. And every time Bill's on, Bill Goody Coons, he wants me to go see it. And I have not found the time yet. So
I thought The Post was good, just very slow developing. Very slow.
What are you talking
to
about?
Start. Very.
It's our industry.
Very slow.
Our industry
to
is
start.
Slow. I was captivated from the opening scene.
Oh.
Did you cry?
No.
No? Did you cheer?
I did cheer a little bit.
Yeah.
I did cheer a little bit.
When she's like,
I mean, I liked the movie. It just.
It's not the best picture for you.
It just kind of. Come on. Come on.
Saturday night, I went to ASU, took Big Cole and one of his buddies, and we watched ASU play against Colorado. That was fine. I have to tell you, though, there's some grumpy fans at ASU games towards Romello White, the starting center. They were getting on his case. And then yesterday, I went and golfed some. The better golfer in the household, my wife, broke her wrist like 4 months ago. And so we said, let's go try it out. So went to this little 9-hole out in Queen Creek. Didn't do anything fabulous, but just a little 9-hole, and it was fun. And it was great, and she did great. She outdrove me as always, which is half the fun. So now we're into Super Bowl week, but here in Arizona, this is the unique spot of being Waste Management Week. We're the only municipality in the country, in my opinion, the only county, the only state that really, yeah, Super Bowl on Sunday will be a big deal. But give me another place in the country that will draw a 500,000 people to a sporting event the same week as the Super Bowl. And the answer that you will come up with is nobody. It will be zero. It is not happening. So this will be the week of us. We're going to be out at the open a lot. In fact, on Wednesday's show, I'm going to do a sit-down with Christian Kirk that we taped about 2 weeks ago as he's getting ready for the Combine, and I'm just going to go to the Open. So just so you know that Wednesday's show will not be a live show. It's not going to be a dead show either. It's going to be a show, but we will not be here on Wednesday. Jeff Munn will be here for me on Thursday because I'm going to 16. I have things to do at the golf tournament. When you own a company, as we do, and you guys come in on this, we feed you the backstory. You know, it's not like we just show up every day and do our thing. So Thursday, we're going to go out, and I want the staff to go out to the Open. I want them to screw around. I want them to have a good time. I want them to decompress because what we do every day, you don't need to worry about it, but what you do every day, it takes its toll. I want people to go out and be fresh and relaxed. And are you going to go out to 16 at any time during the week, E? Or are you going to even make it out there? Or do you have plans?
I am definitely going to go to the Open. I don't know if I am going to go to 16. I've done 16 the last couple of years. It's kind of a what you see is what you get type situation. I mean, it's really fun.
Yeah.
But I may take a little bit of a different approach and watch golf this year. I know that sounds...
What?
I know. Be in the minority.
Get out of here. You?
Maybe a little bit.
Are you going to try to play?
Play what?
Golf at some point. I mean, you've played... I think we've been doing this. I have a parking pass, which I'm sure many of you would like to have rather than getting on the bus. I just walked in today and...
I don't think you're any cooler because you have a parking.
No, I'm not saying I'm cooler. It's just I've got my stuff here. It's nice that, Eric, you brought all my gadget so I can get in and do my thing.
It's part of my job.
Well, do you have a job description posted anywhere?
Part of my responsibilities.
Part of it's a lifestyle. What are you talking about?
It's a lifestyle.
But are you really going to start golfing?
No. I'm going to just go watch golf.
Eric golfed 1 year in Pine Top.
You're doing your best not to listen to what I'm saying this morning. You're hearing what I'm saying. Exactly. Huh? Exactly.
Eric golfed in Pine Top once, and he just talked himself out of being good.
Hit like two good shots, and then
he's just
disaster.
He was like, oh, I'm not, this isn't any good. This isn't, and then it wasn't any good. You can't do that. I'm not any good, and I'm doing it. So you're going to follow, are you going to follow golfers?
I'm going to be out there later in the week with a couple friends that are coming in from out of town, and they are big golf fans,
yeah.
So I will probably just be a sheep and follow them wherever they want to go. They're really diehards. They like to go out to the driving range, like to go out to the putting green. They like to focus on the golf.
It is fair, though, to say that our state is the only state in America this week that is not doing Super Bowl hand over fist. We have 500,000 people that are going to be at a sporting event this week in our state.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're out of the open, Brad, on a Sunday, by the time it gets to about 2 o'clock,
there's no one there, which is great
because they're going to watch the Super Bowl. I mean, what do people do during the week? It's not like they're not going to go to the open just because they're waiting for the Super Bowl to start. But
I could spin that around another way on you. By Sunday, people are so hungover. I'm not, because I'm not one that drinks much. But there's many people I know, by the time they get to Sunday, they're just a disaster because they've been out there on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so they're just wiped out. I love going to the Open on Sunday. I do not need to have a Super Bowl party anymore. I've not done one of those in years. I don't need to sit in front of a TV set. It's supposed to be 80 degrees this week. I do not need to sit in 80 degrees and watch features done forever and a day by NBC. Doesn't need to happen. I do not need to sit there and get another update on whether Gronk is going to play or not. I think this Gronkowski story is probably the only story that I am interested in at all leading into the Super Bowl. I've seen the Patriots enough. I've seen what Philadelphia has done. It's a nice story. Yeah, Nick Foles was at the U of A. I got it. Nick Foles was let go by the Rams. Understood. And we had Seth Joyner on last week. Peter King on. I mean, we've done so much Super Bowl stuff already. But there is a good NFL story happening today. I think the Cardinals are making a very smart hire in Mike McCoy coming in as their offensive coordinator. I'll talk more about that in the next segment. That's a good story. What is on my mind today, by the way, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. Have you guys thought about your life insurance? Have you taken any time at all? You're through another weekend. It's another day off the calendar. Have you just gone to sagicornow.com and gotten your free quote to see what it looks like to protect you, protect your family? Something were to happen to you today. Go to sagicornow.com, Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support, what they do with us day in and day out. Boy, the Suns just make me angry. Last week, I write, and I get a lot of feedback from it and from some people that were not happy downtown. I write that Robert Sarver's got this thing heading towards 10 years of missing the playoffs. 10 years. So then I read with real amusement, I think it was Saturday night late, Scott Bordeaux caught up with Ryan McDonough, and Ryan says, we're going to accelerate the timeline. Yeah, we're going to accelerate the timeline. What a smart move that is. We're going to try to quit sucking. We are going to push up the timeline because heaven forbid we wake up and we're still making money hand over fist. And it's been 8 years. It's just it. And then his quote is, we're probably going to be active this summer. What do you mean probably? The timeline is one of the biggest, if not the biggest farce that I've seen in Arizona sports and Arizona media. I blame us. We sit here and the timeline, put it on social media, and the Suns are the timeline. There should never be a timeline. There just shouldn't. Are there going to be years to rebuild? Like, do you think the Cardinals in their right minds would say, yeah, we're on the timeline to be good again in like 3 years? There's no way that happens. The Diamondbacks, yeah, we're on a timeline to down the road being good again. The timeline, please grow with us. All the timeline has done, the only thing it's done is protect Ryan McDonough and his job. That's it. It's given Robert Sarver a cop-out. We have this timeline. Yeah, do you guys tell me, is Marquise Chris becoming the player that they were selling us on? No, he's still a foul-a-minute guy. Is Dragan Bender coming? No, he's not developed, in my opinion. Is Devin Booker going to stay here? Do you think it's any coincidence that the Suns come up with this nonsense about how they're going to accelerate the timeline after Devin Booker gets thrown out of a game and gets his head kicked in and says some things about how unhappy he was with the way the team played? You don't think the people in Booker's camp aren't already messaging the Suns of, hey, by the way, when the time comes, we're out of here. You don't think that happens? It's I can't believe a once great franchise. Anyways, I'm going to get more into this as the show moves along. We have Jimmy Vaccaro. Jimmy's at 10:35 today from Vegas because we're going to do all sorts of stuff around the Super Bowl, the prop bets. If you're going to go to Vegas this weekend, go to the South Point. I've been to Vegas Super Bowl week. It is fun. It is different. It is unique. There's a couple times a year to go to Vegas, Super Bowl week and March Madness. You got to try that on your bucket list. Get your buddies together. Go do it. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Nothing like a playoff in golf to make my Monday. I'm up on the monitor during the break, and especially over at Torrey Pines. They're in a playoff today. So, and then everything takes place out at the Open. Tomorrow, Haley and Jordan are heading to the Open for the Special Olympics event, the putting contest. I don't know if Fitz is going to be in that. I know Fitz is in the Pro-Am on Wednesday, and everybody wants to get a piece of Larry Fitzgerald from the media standpoint to get his reaction to Steve Wilkes being named the head coach and if he's ready to announce that I will be back next season. Knowing Fitz's media in the past, I would guess this week would be something like, I'm here to play golf. I hope that X team wins the Super Bowl. It's great for Minnesota. And he's going to smile the whole time. And somebody's going to say, well, what do you think about Steve Wilkes? I think it's a fine hire. It's great to see. Larry, what about your future? I'm here to play golf. It's great that the Super Bowl is this week. So, Larry, have you thought about coming? It's great to play golf. I think that's probably how this is going to go. He may show up tomorrow at the putting contest. Tuesdays, by the way, if you've never been to the Open on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, those are the best days. Everybody, the amateur hours, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, really. Amateur hour meaning that's when you get the 22-year-old that wears the 6-inch heels in the designer jeans that is falling down and puking on themselves outside of 16. If you're not used to that and people soiling themselves outside of the hole, just get used to it. I'm actually not even being that graphic as to what I have seen through the years out there. Doesn't mean you can't go and have a great time. People go and have a good time, but it is a bleep show. It is a bleep show. There's just a certain element of that. To really give the Cardinals a lot of credit on how they've handled the hiring of Steve Wilkes. I like that move. From the more people that I speak to about Steve Wilkes around the league, the more I believe that this was a very good move. The fact that Mike McCoy is going to be introduced today as our offensive coordinator, it's a very solid move. I mean, Mike McCoy, with Phillip Rivers did damage. Mike McCoy up at Denver did fine. Mike McCoy as a head coach didn't work out, but Mike McCoy on the Cardinals staff, I really like this move. They're going to introduce Mike McCoy today at 1 o'clock. Eric's going to be out at that. And, you know, for those that – there still is a small segment. There's a very small segment of people that have grown up here that are natives that don't want to give the Cardinals a chance. And they will say to me, well, you have ripped them from head to toe through the years. And the answer is, yeah, I have. They have been one of the least competent franchises that I have covered. But I would say that that has changed as time has gone by. When I first got here in the early 90s, it was a bleep show. It was just like, what do we got here? Nobody cares and all that. And Michael has come in and Steve Keim. If you were to look at the progression of the organization. When Rod Graves was here, and Rod was a very nice guy, and Rod has moved on, but from Rod to give it to Steve and where Steve is now, and Steve has ascended into, my opinion, being one of the better general managers in all the National Football League. Steve is not afraid to go out and be aggressive. Go look at the Chandler Jones trade. I mean, that's turned out in a big way for him. Steve is not afraid to go make moves when things happen. Whether they work out or not, Adrian Peterson, once David Johnson went down, whether they work out or not, I want a general manager for the football team in the city that I cover, because I'm not here to cheer for them. You're never going to hear me say we and us, and boy, I hope they do this, and we all hope that. No, that's not happening here. Lots of places you can go to find that stuff, but that's not happening here. I'm not going to wear a red tie on the air and go through the, boy, our team, you know. I will call them the heroes of the gridiron or whatever. I'll make some little comment because everything doesn't always go as planned. I felt like they've drugged their feet on getting the replacement for Carson, but we'll see. Having Mike McCoy here, I would think would be attractive to a quarterback to come here. If Alex Smith decides he wants to go to Cleveland and get his head kicked in, that's Alex Smith's prerogative. He wants to go be with Todd Haley in Cleveland. That's where Todd ended up. Then go to Cleveland. Knock yourself out. You want to come out here and be in a city that is vibrant about their franchise? No, it's not Cleveland. I get it. The dog pound, there's not a dog pound out here. But you're indoors, you're on grass, you're in warmth. Why would you not want to come out here and play for a guy like Mike McCoy? Part of the deal on this, guys, is you've got to be able to go recruit those players to come here. Mike McCoy screams of, I can get it done. I can do for you what I did for Phillip Rivers. And so I think this is a very smart move. Very good hire on the part of the Cardinals. I can't see this not working out. Erica, where are you at on this one? Mike McCoy.
Really good coordinator. Not a really good head coach, but a really good coordinator.
Because you're a Charger fan. Well, you were a Charger fan when they were in San Diego.
Long-suffering, yes.
Yeah, you let it go. Right? You're not a Charger fan anymore.
I'm just a casual observer.
But so when you saw Mike McCoy, or when I started hearing Mike McCoy's name, it's kind of like Kevin Sumlin hiring Noel Mazzone. Mm-hmm. How can you not be impressed with Kevin Sumlin getting Noel Mazzone in on his staff?
But the biggest question, Brad, is who is Mike McCoy going to coordinate a quarterback? Like, that's the whole...
But I'm fine with that. So he inherits a blank canvas. I would not want him trying to work with Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was probably set in his ways.
And you thought that, right? You thought that the franchise needed to hit reset on many different places.
3 years ago.
Places.
3 years ago with Carson. It wasn't get rid of him. It's get the next one in line because this is not going to end well.
Sort of like with Steve Nash when he was here with the Suns.
Hard to watch. It was just hard to love Steve, but...
We all do.
But if you don't sit here on the air and point out, you know, it's great that Steve's here, but he can't move. He can't guard anybody. Luis Gonzalez cannot catch up to a ball in the outfield, can't throw it in, can't hit. It was the end of his career. Randy doesn't have it like he once had it on the mound. It happens. Not beating up on the guys, but I can't sit here and do my thing and live. If people look at me and say, boy, he doesn't have it anymore. When he was 20, when he was 30, he really had it. Fine. Okay. And a professional athlete gets to a point, like in Carson's case, how he handled it, he just walked out and says, I'm done, I'm checked out. Well, where is the organization that? We all knew Drew Stanton wasn't going to be the future. Blaine Gabbert not probably going to be part of the future. Like Mike McCoy today, Eric, they're going to ask him about quarterbacks and Alex Smith. Everybody's going to dance around. So what do you think about Alex Smith? And there's plenty of fine quarterbacks that are out there. I know how this is going to go today. He probably isn't going to say, yeah, we're not bringing Blaine Gabbert back here. Well, there's plenty of fine quarterbacks to draft. Hey, Mike, what do you think of Josh Rosen? Well, he's got a big arm. What do you think of Sam Darnold? He's got a big arm. We're like, what do you think of Lamar Jackson? He's got a big arm. He's going to say the same thing. Yeah, we got him. I tend to look deeper at that.
And speaking of Noel Mazzone, I just saw on Twitter that he offered Grant Gunnell, one of the top 20, I believe it's 19 quarterbacks, who is a Texas A&M commit. Funny how that works.
Where
was Noel Mazzone last? Yeah, exactly.
Texas A&M.
Yep.
I think Texas A&M may get on Brock Purdy. So this Brock Purdy story, the quarterback at Perry, and you're kind of tired of me doing this, right? If we're being straight with each other. You're kind of tired, Eric, of seeing it up on the site, right?
It's becoming fatiguing. It's nothing against the Purdy's or Brock. I love Brock.
No, it's
Brock
against me because I'm the one that's embracing this story.
Yeah, but it's not the first time that this has happened with you and a prep quarterback around this time. So,
who was the last one?
Tyler Shuck.
That was last spring.
Correct.
Not letter of intent day. There's difference.
It's one in the same.
Brett Hundley. When I see a story.
Brad gravitates towards quarterbacks, which is totally fine.
But did I gravitate towards Spencer Rattler?
Not yet.
I don't know if I'm going
to. But there's really no story to tell right now, Spencer.
Oh, I think there is. I see that story a little different. I think there's the brand Spencer Rattler, to me, is really interesting. The brand.
Right.
The branding that's going on that one is different than anybody else in the past of quarterback that I've seen in Arizona. But that's a story for another day. Brock Purdy did something over the weekend that to me is remarkable. If you're to look at the Brock Purdy story, guys. So letter of intent day is a week from Wednesday. Here's why you should care about Brock Purdy. I'll tell you exactly why. 7 weeks ago, I see him at the National Football Foundation luncheon in Scottsdale. He's got nothing going. The family is bringing in Southern Utah University is coming in to meet with the Purdy's. They're planning on milk and cookies, okay? 7 weeks later, on Saturday night, here's where Brock Purdy was. On Saturday night, do you have the picture? You have it? Yeah, he's with Nick Saban. Okay, this is why you should care. That doesn't happen, okay? 7 weeks ago, Southern Utah, Saturday night at Nick Saban's house. Now, I'm going to embrace stories like this all day long. I heard that Saban did karaoke, heard that they did line dancing. All this stuff. Here's Brock Purdy with the national championship trophy. This is not Southern Utah University or even NAU. He was offered by UNLV and New Mexico State. No, he's been offered by Alabama. He has to make a decision about Alabama. In the last 16 days, Brock Purdy, 17 days now, in the last 17 days, Brock Purdy's been to Boise State on a full visit with his parents and his younger brother, who's going to be a player too. He's been to Iowa State, very good program, rising program. He went to Central Florida last Wednesday and Thursday. Josh Heupel, really good football mind. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, he was at Alabama. Sunday morning, yesterday morning, he's having breakfast one-on-one with Nick Saban. Give me a better story than that, and you're not going to be able to. You're just not. It's pretty amazing. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas next on everything involving the Super Bowl. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmad. Of course, the Super Bowl coming up, and time now to go to Las Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro with us. You have to be at the South Point. That is the place to be for everything Super Bowl related this weekend. Jimmy, when does it start filling up for Super Bowl in Vegas at the South Point?
Well, Brent, thank you for asking. Here we are, number 52 coming up. It's probably the general public and the out-of-towners, my good friend. They'll start arriving slightly on Wednesday night and then through Thursday and Friday. It all gets crazy, and naturally that's the time that you would consider everybody who's coming to town who doesn't live in town to try to come over, get a bet, watch a game, and have a little bit of fun.
How much of money has come in so far on this game?
Well, so far, usually we're at around 5 to 6% right now. But I tell you what, naturally, if you've read the stories or seen the papers around Las Vegas lately, there's been a guy coming around betting a lot of money. So you may push that up real quick. But we've taken a $500,000 bet from the gentleman on the Eagles on the money line. In other words, to win the football game. So his $500,000 will win him $820,000 if the Eagles win. So let's subtract just that one bet. I would just say we're about 8%. And then naturally the last, the last 90, 92% will come from probably late Friday night until kickoff on Sunday.
Jimmy, when you take a $500,000 bet, how does that process work? If somebody just walks up to the window and says, I'm putting it down, or do you get a heads up?
Well, it's usually, in this case, this gentleman came around to bet us in the World Series also, so he knew who he was, so he came. It was actually an easy, easy process to go along with. And Brad, my friend, I get a lot of questions, so maybe I can clarify to some people out there, because I've asked that quite a bit this week.
Sure.
In this case, because we know the guy, in this case, even if it wasn't the guy and other people, what they'll do anymore is, like, just inform you that they're coming and they're wiring money into the cage. So that process is so much easier. So when he came to the window, then he saw the parameters on what me and Chris were going to take on the game, and then just went to his bank and wired the money into the cage. So from that particular process, you walk over, you verify the gentleman who he is, whatever. They give him chips. He walks to the counter, makes his bet. So you can see it's so much quicker and easier, as opposed to counting $500,000 out on the countertop right there. So quite different than it once was way back, my friend. Most of these transactions are wire transfers to the bank.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us from Vegas. All things around the Super Bowl at the South Point. That's where you want to head this weekend. To check all the Super Bowl action out. All right, just break it down, X's and O's, the numbers on the spots and dots on the Super Bowl as we sit here and talk today, Jimmy.
Well, first of all, it'll be a record-breaking weekend, I gather. Last year, $138 million was bet statewide. Surely that will surpass that. Proposition bets, like every year, my friend, keeps going up and up and up. We put up some props already a few days ago, and we've written over $300,000 on those props alone.
Wow.
That's just a $1,000 limit. Again, the betting side, money on the dog early. They took the six like it was giving away money way back, went down to five, went down to 4.5, which we're currently at, took the big money line bet on the Eagles, getting some Patriot money back. But like I said, my friend, a lot of times, nobody knows where this is going to turn, because it's rather unique with the quarterback who initially didn't play in a situation like this against a team, which we know is what their record is, and simply a little quirk there. The stitches are coming out. Bronkowski got the little concussion. So interesting, entertaining. But I can tell you this, I would firmly believe that more tickets will be written on the Eagles, but more big tickets will be written on the Patriots.
Jimmy, as always, thanks. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy Vaccaro there from Vegas. All things around. It's always good to have Jimmy on around the Super Bowl. You putting any money down, E? You got anything going on this one?
I don't think so. I might take the year off. I haven't bet in a couple of years. I'm going over to a friend's house. There'll be squares. I'm sure I'll throw some cash in on that, but... I don't know. Maybe I should do a couple prop bets, because those help me get interested in games that I'm usually not interested. Case in point, Patriots Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it on the game itself.
But it'll probably be a great game, because the past Super Bowls have been really good with the teams that I have no dog in the fight in, so to speak.
It's funny because in our industry, there was a time where we would take this show or a show or something media-wise to Media Row. And it used to be a point of prestige and a point of honor to take this show to the Super Bowl. How many Super Bowls have you been to? I've been to many. I took the show down.
Super Bowl games or just the Super Bowl
media,
week?
Media Row, yeah. Bowl week.
I've never been to I've never attended a Super Bowl or covered a Super Bowl, but I've been to
Radio Rows.
I've been to three Radio Rows.
Okay, and all that Radio Row is here's Joe Montana, and he's going to talk to you about applesauce, or he's going to talk to you about some new pill that he's taking for this or that.
Yep.
And you're going to have somebody that's going to bring Joe Montana over to you, and you're going to say, this is going to be great for the audience, and they're going to hand you a piece of paper, and they're going to say, you have to ask him about this. If you don't ask him about it, then they've got the next player and the next player and the next player, and you're not going to get him. So all you're doing is putting on, think of a former great player. Dan Marino's going to come by, and he's going to talk about isotoner gloves. And he's going to talk about how great the gloves are. And then he's going to say, yeah, I think it's going to be a great game, and I really like this. And you're going to try your hardest to get something interesting out of him. And you're going to get it back to, well, isotoner tells me that my gloves. And you're going to be sitting there saying, this is nothing more than garbage. And we're not doing this. And that's all that Radio Row has turned into, unfortunately. Which has been kind of my distaste on the Super Bowl in general. Unless the Cardinals are in it. So, when I'm doing the TV thing, I took the show down there in 2009. I shouldn't say I did. We did at Channel 3. And it was a great time. We were on the air morning, noon, and night. there are really interesting stories. We did not have to deal with the nonsense of Radio Row and PR Weasel saying, you got to ask him about this, this, and this. No reason to do that. Not going to put you guys through it. So I'd rather be here at Waste Management. The only downside to Waste Management this week is Tiger Woods is not here. So I watched Tiger over the weekend many times. I found myself when I did have free time, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, how did Tiger, I found myself rooting for Tiger to make the cut. There was an idiot at Torrey Pines yesterday that yelled something out at Tiger Woods when he was putting. And one of the marshals there, one of the volunteers said, I hope you guys all beat him up, paraphrasing the person who yelled out something. Tiger Woods is really good for golf. I'm sitting there with my wife talking about who does she want to follow. When we go to the Open, I'm going to go sit and do business at 16 on Thursday. I'm going to be at Bay Club on Wednesday, and I'm going to bring some friends and some family. We're going to have a nice time at Bay Club, thanks to our friend Tim Hovick at Santan Ford. We're going to have a nice time. I'm going to go out Friday with my wife, and we'll probably follow around Matt Kuchar. She likes Matt Kuchar. That's her deal. Follow him around. There may be a time we bounce over to watch Ricky Fowler for a few holes. We will go out to 3, 4, and 5 because most people do not go out to 3, 4, and 5. It's great being out there and just being golf fans. It doesn't matter that I suck at the game. What matters is being outdoors. It's supposed to be 80. It's a great community event. And there's a 500,000 people that are paying attention to it. Really looking forward to the Open this week. The Open's not one of those where it gets old. 16 will be fun on Thursday. It will. I will go there and have a great time. I don't need to go every day, but I'm definitely going to be out there at least. I'm going out tomorrow, too. Tomorrow after we're done taping the TV show. I'll be out there four days this week. All right, a little bit more on the Suns on the other side. Because Ryan McDonough is now wanting to accelerate the timeline. I got into it a little bit earlier, but I didn't go further with it like I want to do next. A little bit of a deep dive. Sports360AZ.com. Here on this Monday, the story of the day, Mike McCoy. The Cardinals will introduce him at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Eric will be out at that. Our television show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, will have part of that on this week's edition, along with Seth Joyner, Peter King, Jimmy Vaccaro, and more, breaking down the Super Bowl, plus the very latest in recruiting news, too. Stay with us. All right, a couple other things before we get out of here, but one in particular. The Suns tonight play at Memphis. Why do I care? I really don't. They lost last night at Houston. I do care, and if you're just finding this show, you're like, boy, he is really not nice or harsh on the Suns. No, I'm actually pretty true on the Suns. This is how I've been the last 8 years. Okay. When I came here in the early 90s, I was brought into a Suns game when they got me off the plane from San Diego. They picked me up at the airport. They took me to the Suns game. They sat me down. The lights went out. They introduced Charles. They introduced Kevin. They introduced, you know, the starting lineup. They played Sacramento that night. Place was just full of electricity and energy. And it was at a time where the Suns had just come off losing the finals to the Bulls. The Suns were the only game that people gave anything about here in the Valley. And so they leaned over to me when the lights came up and they said, now you'd be hosting the Colangelo show. I said, the owner has a show? And they said, yeah, he does. And you'd be hosting the Westfall show. That's cool. Okay, coaches shows. I've done that stuff with the Chargers and the NFL. No big deal. But I want to get out of San Diego because there's no NBA coming. There's nothing really going on outside of the Chargers. There's no NHL. The college team is trying to figure out where they're going. At the time, San Diego State was an independent. I was doing their play-by-play for basketball and a little bit on football. But there really wasn't the opportunity that I saw here in Phoenix. So here I am in my mid-20s. The lights are up. I'm thinking, okay, I'm really interested in this. The next day, it's my audition, okay? I'm auditioning to be the guy. At 5, the show was at 6 o'clock. At 5:30, the producer walks in. He says, what are you talking about? I said, well, the Cardinals game. I think Joe Bugel's going to get fired. I think we're going to lead with that. He says, why? Nobody cares. And he didn't put in those words, paraphrasing. And he said, the Suns just made a trade. You should be leading with that. I said, oh, who did they trade? He said, well, they traded Nigel Knight. Nigel Knight. Nigel Knight was a backup guard. Nigel Knight, Eric, if I were to describe Nigel Knight, 10th guard, 10th player on the team, 11th player on the team.
Average NBA player.
Average NBA player.
Serviceable backup point guard.
They got him for a second round pick. They traded him to San Antonio. The producer says to me, you need to lead with Nigel Knight. Now, you know me enough now through the years. Do you think I should have or would have led with Nigel Knight in that moment? It's my one audition, my one night.
You should have listened to what your producer says, because your producer probably knew the market far better than you did.
You know the story or not?
I do.
Okay.
I've heard most of your stories a couple times, but okay. this is one of my favorites.
So continue. So the producer comes back to me at like 5:45, 15 minutes before showtime, and he says, Jerry Colangelo will join you right at the beginning of the show to talk about the Nigel Knight trade. And I look at him. It's my one audition, my one chance to shine. I'm coming over here from the West Coast, and it's not even – it's like November. It's like November 10th or something. I don't know. And he says, yeah, we have the owner. I don't want the owner. But what am I supposed to say? I said, okay, it's fine. And he says to me, Brad, you don't get it. This is the Suns. He comes back like 5 minutes before showtime. We're going to have Paul Westfall on to talk about the Nigel Knight trade. It's on a Monday. There's all this stuff from the weekend. I have the owner and I have the coach about a backup point guard, and it's a Monday and it's my only chance to shine. I am not going to get this job. So I'm immediately put into a, well, I don't know about this. So I go sit down in the studio. My show notes are sitting there and it's all going to be about the Cardinals and what are they going to do and this and that. And I sit down, they have these phone lines in front of me. It's like what we call a bank of lines. It's line one, line two, line three, line four, line. There's eight of them. And all eight of them are already blinking. That means people are calling. They're all blinking. And as I sit down, like a minute before the show, I start to see what each person wants to talk about. It's back in the day where they put it on the computer monitor over here. Yeah, this person wants to talk on line one about Suns trade. Line two, Suns trade. Line three, Suns. Line four. 36 phone calls on the Suns trade, two on the Cardinals in my two-hour audition. That's all people cared about. So fast forward ahead. I take the job. I'm the guy doing the Suns pre-post. We have fun. We do all sorts of things through the years. It was great. I leave there to go over to the Diamondbacks. Jerry still owns both teams. Diamondbacks are doing their thing in 2004. Jerry's out on both. And by 2010, the decade of decline, which is I've decided I'm going to call this the decade of decline. I can't think of it, or decade of dumpster fire. I don't know. But all I know is I'm sitting here today on a Monday after a weekend where the general manager said, we are going to move up the timeline. We are probably, quote, probably going to be active. Probably. Even though you haven't had one single playoff game here in Arizona, or just in general, you haven't had a playoff game since May 27th of 2010. Does this make any sense to anybody? So I write about this last week, and I get crushed, of course, by, you're just not supportive. You're not the local sportscaster, you know. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be the cheerleader dude on this. I'm not wearing the orange and purple tie. There's no reason to. It's embarrassing what has happened. It's beyond embarrassing to take a once proud brand and run it right into the ground. So here we are 4 days later after I write this column, and all of a sudden, Ryan McDonough, hey, you know, we need to move this timeline up. You don't want to be a decade of decline guy, right, Ryan? Because you're not going to be here if this goes on for another year or two. The fact they've even had 2 years of this nonsense, the timeline, it's embarrassing, just absolutely embarrassing that any sports franchise could get away with selling people. Come put your money down on the timeline. Well, maybe we should move it up. Maybe we should try not to suck so bad. Maybe we should try to even, I don't know, not be 10th or 11th place. Maybe expanding the moving the timeline up after we lose by 38 points is the right time to do it.
You know, tonight's a big game between the Suns and the Memphis Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies are the team that is barely sitting ahead of the Suns to climb one step closer to the eighth and final playoff spot in the West. The Suns are only 9.5 games behind Denver for the eighth and final.
Nine and a half back. End of January.
The Suns are also one of the few teams in the NBA that have not reached double-digit wins either at home or on the road. They are 8-17 at home and 9-16 on the road.
Am I wrong on this one?
No.
You would tell me.
No, you're not wrong at all.
I mean, are you as pissed as I am, or you just don't care?
I'm leaning more towards I just don't care. and I'm leaning more towards only caring about the players that are really busting their tails and wanting to win, because I do think that some are and some are just kind of coasting.
I think there's some that are coasting too.
And we're not even in February yet. I mean, for the good teams, for the Clevelands and the Golden States, if they want to coast in the end, at the end of January,
sure.
that's they're right to do so.
Cleveland's won, what, like four games since Christmas Day, and people are like, oh my gosh, the Cavaliers. No, you're just filling time on your show because they're just mailing it in right now.
Yeah, they'll probably be in the Eastern Conference Finals at the very worst.
When did things turn around? Was it the meeting with Kevin? No, things turned around when we saw that we didn't have 30 games left between now and April because we started in early October.
Crazy.
That's when things turned around. It's not that hard. I see games, Eric, now. I see games where there's 15, 18 seconds left on the clock. And I even see this in high school and in junior high games. And the team will be losing by, let's say, 10, 15 points. So there's no way that they're going to come back. But I'll see teams put the ball down and run off the court while there's still time left on the clock. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Well, there's no way they can come back. You always play till the end. It's the same with the dude that tries to celebrate at the 5-yard line because he thinks he's scoring a touchdown and the ball gets knocked out of his hands and he looks like an idiot. It's a bigger problem. I know this is a societal thing and I'm ending on a very, very bitter note today. But I'm really not bitter. I'm just kind of like done. I'm done with these guys, but I look at it and say, man, if they had the right people in place, this thing could get turned around in a hurry, but they can't recruit guys to here. They've not been able to recruit people here. It's a fact. And it's going to be 8 years coming up this April that since we've had a playoff game. It's completely unacceptable. This should not be the Washington Generals. All right, tomorrow we will be back at it. I think Kevin Harlan is going to be with us tomorrow from Westwood One. He's calling the Super Bowl. It's always good to hear Kevin's voice, one of the true pros. Wednesday, Christian Kirk. We will not be here in studio on Wednesday. I'm just telling you this ahead of time. We're going to be at the Open, all of us. And then Thursday, Jeff Munn's going to be in. All right? Erica is our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. Jared Nielsen is our Chairman of the Board, the Iron Man. This show repeats throughout the day over on AZ Central and right here on Sports360AZ.com. Have a great day.